The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Friends in Christ, as we begin this first Sunday in Advent, we remember that we need a little bit of extra Christmas spirit, right? 2020 has been a pretty hard year for us. We've been very impatient. We've kind of gotten tired of a lot of things. And now with the holiday season, with Thanksgiving and Christmas and maybe New Year coming up and tax season and all these sorts of things, school and sports, and we start to get a little uneasy. Maybe we do need a little bit of Christmas spirit. So let's turn to the Spirit and get that same spirit in ourselves. Today we recognize that what St. Paul is talking about to the Christian church in Galatia way long ago is something that you and I already have. You and I, baptized into Christ of Jesus, have the Spirit of God inwardly already working on us. You and I already have the fruit of the Spirit. And again, it's not fruits with an S. There only is one fruit of having the Spirit of God. And it starts with that one word. Love. Every single word listed in this sentence from St. Paul, they all go back to that one word. Just like all the Ten Commandments go back to the first commandment, every single fruit of the Spirit working on us goes back to love. In order for us to have joy, we need love. In order for us to truly have peace in our world, in our lives, in our heart, we need love. And in order for us to have patience, we'll focus on today, we need love. Sometimes we don't have the love inside of ourselves in order to have patience, now do we? Sometimes we run a little short in our love tank. So where do we go in terms of our lives? Well, oftentimes before I've said, I like to love on people, I like to give gifts, I like to do things for people, to go places. I like to give of my love, but sometimes that ends up running dry. For me as a pastor, I can't give you my love perfectly. I have to give you God's love, because he can only give you perfect love. And that's where we come to understand patience today. Patience in our English language, we like to think of just being able to maybe sit back and wait and being okay with the wait. We like to think of hope today as we hope we're assured of Jesus' return. But biblical patience takes all those things, the expectation, the hope, the longing, and it's all about being slow to anger, slow to those emotions that rise up in us. When we look to Jesus and we look to God's love, we know that he is patient because he is slow to anger and abiding in steadfast, eternal love. That's how you and I act like Jesus today, in your families, in your homes, in your schools, when we're slow to act on those emotions that come up. I guess I did set that alarm after all. Were you guys awake? We were patient. Slow to act, like my phone alarm, is how we understand patience today. And that's how we can get through the next 4 weeks of Advent. That's how we can get through this year. Slow to letting those emotions rise up to get the best of us. Slow to anger. Abiding in love is how we look to patience. Just like a farmer plants a seed, waits, but always works during the waiting. Cultivating, fertilizing, watering, doing stuff in the meantime. That's what you and I can do as we wait, as we're patient. Not being frustrated that our plants aren't growing right away. Not being frustrated that we can't do all the things we used to do. We're patient. For us to better understand biblical patience, I have a short video for us today. I'd like to turn for you today to the screen once more.
See this box? This is a gift for the whole family. You see, we are a Christmas decorations right after Thanksgiving dinner type of family. As soon as the stuffing is in the Tupperware, boom, we are setting out ornaments and lights. And truth be told, the lights stay out till mid-January, at a minimum. Now, that may be because we just love the Christmas atmosphere and the Christmas spirit, or we're just lazy. I mean, we were devoted to the tradition of it, to the routine of it. I think in our hearts we just got lazy. We have this tradition where every Christmas we would all set up the nativity scene, and we'd set it out diligently, routinely. It was almost as if we were just trying to get through that next hurdle so we could watch our Christmas movies. So I had this idea. That's right. I stole baby Jesus. I plucked him right out of there. I started doing this about 4 years ago. I wanted him to mean something when he was in the manger. Now I know what you're thinking. What? Why would a sane man hide the baby Jesus during Christmas? And I think therein lies the problem. A, I'm not that sane. And B, for me, Jesus was becoming just another ornament. And I just didn't want him to be that anymore. I wish you could have been there that very first year. It was bedlam.
Where's baby Jesus?
Who took him?
The mystery of baby Jesus' whereabouts was on the forefront of everyone's minds. And then before you know it, I started throwing out these little ransom notes. And then people were searching for clues. And every night at dinner table, they would come up with these new theories.
In the kitchen. I think he's really? Somewhere
yeah.
Outside.
I think he's somewhere in the living room.
Yeah, but
for 3 weeks straight, our house was cloaked in conspiracy.
I wonder where he is.
Me too.
Now, I may not be the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree, but I do know, and I was raised to know, that the most important thing about Christmas is to seek Christ. And that's why I hide the baby Jesus. My kids, they've gotten so into this. 2 years ago, they made shirts that said, keep calm and find Jesus. And last year they made a Facebook and they posted everything on it. You wanna know where I hid baby Jesus this year? I hid him in our flower bed. Yep, gave him a little ransom note. Their last clue was this, Ephesians 5:2. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The fragrant offering part kind of confused my little one. She kept trying to look for him in the bathroom. Anyway, it took them a while, but they finally found him. I still got it. So, I have to go back out and hide him again. Because we will not open this gift until Christmas Eve. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll turn off the phones and the TVs. And I'll just be quiet. He came into the world quietly. And I just want my family to absorb this. And then we will open up this gift. This amazing, God-breathed, prophecy-filled gift. And we will sit around as a family. And we will talk about why Jesus was the greatest Christmas gift ever.
For you this next week and these next few weeks of Advent into Christmas, may you always have the gift of expectancy, the gift of hope, and the gift of the Spirit's patience. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.